Hey there, it's Andrea, and if you are excited to hear all about social media and especially about getting students involved, you're in the right place. This interview with Jason Wheeler out of Texas is going to probably blow your mind. And I hope that I answer all or ask all the questions that you would have for Jason, but because we're going to talk about Instagram takeovers, we're going to talk about TikTok, we're going to talk about, best strategies for growing your social media storytelling platforms. We're going to talk about it all. And Jason has such a plethora of knowledge. You are definitely going to probably want to listen to this twice and maybe even take some notes. So I can't wait for you to listen to Jason. Let's jump in. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Gribble, founder of Hashtag Social School for EDU. I am here to train you and your staff to be social media storytellers so you can stand out from other schools, celebrate your students and staff, and reach thousands in your community every day. Are you struggling to find the content to post on your Facebook page? Are you wondering how to find enough time to run your Instagram account? Are you simply overwhelmed with where to even begin on Twitter? If so, you're in the right place. This podcast is for school social media managers who care about their school and community and want to keep them connected. I believe that you already have the ability to rock social media and celebrate your school. I'm just here to help you unlock that potential. Every week on the Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast, you'll learn simple, actionable strategies from top-notch guests. Their advice, along with my experience working directly with hundreds of schools across the country, will help you stop being overwhelmed and start enjoying your job. The school communicator community is incredibly giving and inspiring, and this is the place to meet them. Okay, before we get started with our interview, we always start with a weekly K-12 PR tip. And this week, my tip is this. You who are listening, you are on a social media journey with your school or school district. And I want you to know that it's okay to embrace where you are and stop comparing yourself to all of the other schools around you, all of the other schools across the nation that are doing things bigger and maybe better and, more beautiful than you can right now on your social media platforms. You guys, we all start somewhere. If I were to show you my first Facebook cover image and my first few posts on social media back in 2014, you would laugh and be like, she's teaching me? Like, oh my gosh, that is so bad. You guys, we got to start somewhere. And so embrace where you're at and just focus on the next step. What's the next thing that can help my district tell better stories, right? Or reach more people? What platform might be the next step for me? Or, you know what? I'm overwhelmed with Facebook. I'm not even going to think about moving on to another platform. I just want you to know that it's okay. Don't get in that comparison trap. Focus on what you're doing. Try to get better every day. But it's going to take years to get where you want to get to. But the biggest thing is just make those baby steps, make progress, and don't get discouraged. So with that knowing, some of what you're going to hear today in our interview with Jason might be like, oh my gosh, overwhelming, but he's going to say it too. If you're overwhelmed, don't go on taking on another platform. Don't think that you have to have student interns or student ambassadors. Just embrace where you're at. You can always have goals for next year or the following year, right? So without further ado, let's get into today's interview with Jason Wheeler. Hey there. Welcome to the show, Jason. Good to see you.
Great to see you too. I mean, this is awesome. I always getting together and doing this kind of stuff. So this is fun.
Yes, I'm so glad that you could join for the podcast. You've presented on several of my webinars over the past several years. I have learned a ton from you and the work that you're doing down in Texas. And I would love for you to just introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yeah, sure. My name's Jason Wheeler. I work for the Carrollton Farmers Branch Independent School District and recently been assigned as Director of Communications. So I'm working there, and we have 38 campuses with about 26,000 students, and we represent six cities. So it's pretty crazy. We're called Carrollton Farmers Branch, but we actually represent six cities in our district. So it can become hard with a lot of different demographics, a lot of different cities, a lot of different just types of schools. But that's sort of what my job was created for.
Okay, awesome. Well, that is a huge district, and congratulations. I haven't talked to you since you got your most recent promotion. So can you kind of explain to everybody the breakdown of how your communications department is set up?
Yeah, sure. So we have people that are on sort of the communication side. Then we definitely have a marketing unit, and then we also have a community relations unit. And when I say unit, I'm usually that's represented by one person. So we have a chief executive of communications in our department, and then I fall under as director of communications. And then we have community relations coordinator, which is Pam Pena, and she sort of works with businesses and anything to do with volunteering or community support within our schools. We have a videographer that helps us and a graphic designer that actually aids us in sort of developing our content and developing the strategy and, you know, sort of putting it out to the public of what we come up with.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. And I'm going to make sure to link to all of your, you know, your website and then your social channels, of course. Social media is one piece of your communications. And of course, that's what this podcast is all about. So can you just kind of talk about the social media journey that you've been on in your district?
Yeah. So I sort of, this is my seventh year, which I cannot believe, my seventh year in this position. I've been in the district for almost 20 years. I was a teacher beforehand. And my last assignment before I actually joined the communications department, I was director of an Academy for Media Arts and Technology. So I was doing a lot of video, a lot of different multimedia things for the district. And that's sort of how my job came along. And what was happening in our district is we're a landlocked district. We're fairly old for, you know, expanding things around DFW. So what was happening is we were sort of being, I use the word overtaken, but there's a lot of charter schools, a lot of private schools in our area. So just within our district or right outside our district boundary, there's about 15 charter schools. So school choice and competition became just so strong in our area. So that's why my initial job of marketing coordinator was created. And so I came on to help sort of enrollment was declining and sort of level that enrollment and sort of make it go in the upward trajectory. So the first thing I did when I came in was looked at sort of the social media and how that can make an impact. You know, 7 years ago, it was almost completely different than it is now. Facebook was allowing about 90% of our people to see our content. Twitter was, you know, sort of just a thing that teachers were using, and Instagram was barely a thing back then. So what my first thing was, is I wanted to make it more visual and more appealing and sort of develop that brand voice. So that was sort of my first thing, is I looked at all the social media, and that's how I sort of just really started being locked in on the benefits and just how social media can really transform your communication within a school district. So first thing, my plan was to make it visual, but also just to find that voice and to really implement that across the district, but also give voice to each one of our individual schools as well with their social media channels.
Awesome. So you actually started some social media for all of your schools. Now, you're a much bigger district than we work with traditionally. So I do social media management for a lot of schools from 300 kids up to, you know, I guess our biggest is about 8,000. You have 26,000. You have six different communities. So you have set up separate social channels for all of your districts or all of your schools. Who runs those at the schools?
Okay, so early on, it was usually the principals or a designated person. Well, when my new superintendent came aboard about 3 years ago, he really wanted to up the social media game. So he started making requirements for each school to at least choose two platforms. And then they had to post a certain amount of times per week. So elementary schools had to do at least three posts on two different platforms. High school had to do a little bit more just because of fine arts and athletics and things like that. But so what happened was we recently allowed our schools to pay a stipend to a social media coordinator on the campus. So as of this year, starting this year, which has become so important because of COVID and all the virtual learning and things like that, we have a designated person that helps with the website for their school, and also the social media channels for their school. And we work hand in hand and sort of give them tips and suggestions and, you know, the best things that they can do to make the best of their social media at their individual schools.
Okay. So really empowering those storytellers at each campus, which obviously in turn gives you some content to share district-wide as well.
Exactly.
We could talk about so many things, Jason, and we have in the past, but I really wanted to talk about students as storytellers. I just want to share with you, so we have some Instagram contributors with some of our schools, and one of our gals from our school, she just is a freshman down in Milwaukee, and she communicated back to Heidi Feller on our team, and she's like, you just helped me get a job running Instagram for an account because they heard that I helped as a contributor, you know, at my high school, and now it's turning into a paid internship, Jason, not just free. Like they weren't getting paid for us, but a paid opportunity. And so I love the fact that we're, you know, developing this next generation of maybe school communicators, but definitely communicators. So can you just talk about the student involvement at your school and why that's important to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's so very important, because I actually think that marketing going forward, I'm actually talking about this in a couple of weeks at some of the conferences that we're both going to be on. I'm talking about that, you know, giving the power to the teachers, but also giving the power to the students, because if you think about it, look how much persuasion I would say that students have to their parents about where they select to go to school, what programs they're going to be in. So that, of course, who are they going to trust more? A district employee, you know, shouting out the accolades and shouting out the great things the district's doing, or the people that are sort of what I say in the trenches, the students that are going on a daily basis, they're in the schools, they're in the programs. When content comes straight from those people that are actually in those programs and doing the certain things, it's going to be so much more powerful. And of course, kids are going to love hearing from kids because they know what's cool more than we do a lot of the time. So they know all the trends, they know all the cool things you can do on social media. And we just found it just an awesome experience to have these student takeovers, these student run accounts and things like that to put forward all the stuff. It helps tremendously getting our message out there.
Well, Jason, I think you're pretty cool. So you're at the forefront, and I'll be the first to tell your own kids that too.
Yeah. My dogs are the only ones that think that right now.
So if somebody wanted to start involving students at their school, and I know you have a great record of like Instagram takeovers and things like that, but what are the first steps that a school communicator would have to think about in regards to handing kind of the keys to the castle, right? Oh my gosh, I got to trust these guys. So what are some of those first steps?
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest barrier. People sort of like, well, we're going to let the kids have control of, you know, they're going to do crazy, horrible things on the, you know, and most of the time, I mean, you might have that one person out of 1,000 kids, but really they sort of take pride. I mean, that's the first thing that is, you know, ease your fears a little bit. I mean, they understand, I mean, we're going to know who does it if someone does something wrong. I mean, it's easy to track. But I mean, they start having a lot of pride when you give them the keys to the kingdom to be able to do the certain things. But some of the things we put in place, and, you know, I shout out to Pam, who I've talked about, our community coordinator. We've developed sort of a student ambassador program. Not only do we have a parent ambassador program, but a student ambassador program where it's just the great student leaders around our campuses that contribute to a lot of things that we do. They give us advice on things that we do. They go out and help us host events, things like that. And a lot of times we use those selected students as the takeover students. So, you know, of course, finding the student leaders. And I won't even say that, you know, you need to find the A-plus students a lot of the times. A lot of the student leaders and what we call influencers are going to be, you know, the people that are involved in certain programs or the, you know, the drum major of the marching band, things like that. It doesn't have to be your valedictorian. A lot of times we lose sight of that in education, that A's are all what learning is about, but there's so many different people with so many different passions. So finding those people that are passionate, because they're going to want to tell the story. And then second, of course, you got to have some safety nets. We always have a admin person or a teacher that is sort of assigned to a student group that when we have these takeovers, that she sort of monitors and she's sort of the the gatekeeper, if you would say, or he is the gatekeeper of the situation where they sort of monitor. And usually we do it around big events. So like homecoming, you know, of course, prom, the first football game, you know, if we're going to have some major event, usually our takeovers are surrounding around that. So there's going to be a lot of teacher buy-in as well. So having those administrators or those teachers in place that the students trust, that can be sort of the guiding source. And then the third thing is, you know, you need to teach them about, you know, how to use social media. They know how to use it, but like use it for school purposes, you know, make sure that it's school appropriate, make sure that, you know, as of now, social distancing and masks are on. So there's just so many different layers that they know how to engage on social media, but they don't know some of the details when it comes to school communication. And we sort of have to teach them that and relay them that information.
Yeah, give them some prompts to start with. So you've mainly done takeovers for specific events, not like a year-long takeover.
No, we haven't had like a student that's in charge of a certain social media. We find that when I can see that being beneficial, but also I can see the way that we're going is, you know, we'll let the band take over it one day. We'll let the cheerleaders, we'll let the, you know, the engineering team or the robotics team take it over. So you're definitely targeting those niche groups that are going to have influence over other niche students in your population. So if we gave it to one student throughout the whole year, then it might just be their friends or that certain thing. So our philosophy is divide it up and allow the different groups to do it and the different schools. That way you're going to get more traction and more buy-in.
And is it more, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about TikTok, yeah. But for Instagram, are they mainly doing Instagram stories or?
So they're doing both. So we let them do both. They do pictures throughout the day. And of course the kids really like the stories. So it really depends on what group is the takeover. We see, you know, a lot of the cheerleaders where there's a lot of movement to the things that they're doing, things like that. They'll do some stories. If it's like an engineering club and they want to get a close up of the remote control car they're doing or the robotic they're building, sometimes it will be general posts, but we allow them to do both.
Okay. And what's been the impact? Because I know you've had significant growth in your Instagram channel off of this. So can you tell me that?
Yeah. And, you know, just talking to other districts, it's the same thing. Anytime a student takes over, their friends are going to want to follow to see what they're doing. And so just the amount of engagement goes up, but then our follower count, you know, goes up. I mean, the first time we did our takeover, our Instagram following in one day went up like 575 people just because everyone at the high school followed to see what the cheerleaders and the dance team are going to do on homecoming. So putting it around specific events and these specific niche groups, you know, those groups are going to want to follow to see what's done. Now, do we lose a couple? Yeah, we'll lose 10 or 15, but the net gain is unbelievable because not only do you have other students following, but of course, who loves to see the faces of their kids? The parents, right? So then you get another layer of demographics. Not only are we getting the student demographic that's already a lot on Instagram, but then you're getting the parents and they sort of stick around on Instagram. They create their accounts and they start engaging with us a lot more on our accounts.
Yeah, that's incredible. So Instagram is unlike Facebook. A lot of people ask like, oh, can I just assign an admin? You can't really do that with Instagram. No. I know that from our standpoint, at some points when we assign an Instagram, you know, person to take over for the day or take over for a longer period of time, we'll actually enter the password for them. So they don't actually know the password. Yeah. So they can't give it to a friend. They just have it on their device. Is that how you do it? Or do you change it right away after they're done? Or how do you do it?
So yeah, we learned early on that Instagram, when you change the password, doesn't like previous passwords or you have to change it up a lot. So we've had a lot of different passwords at the beginning. when we didn't give the students the password. Like I said, we always had that admin or that teacher that was sort of the representative of the takeover. We would give them the password. And a lot of times, to tell you the truth, we would use the teacher's phone to allow the students to carry it around and the teacher would be with them. Because a lot of it, when you do it around events, pretty much the day's a wash anyway, you know, like around homecoming, things like that. So a lot of the stuff was the teacher was able to follow them around all day and during the parades and things like that. But yeah, at first we changed the password quite a bit, but then we started just sort of doing it ourselves. And we even got a district iPhone that we've allowed some of the campuses to use where it's already been pre-programmed in. And we just sort of check it out, almost like you check out a device or a book in the district. And so we had that, and we had it for emergency purposes for a while. Then we got another phone. So we sort of used that old iPhone as sort of our social media rent phone that we give out to different schools and different groups.
Okay, that's powerful. And somehow you just let people know that, hey, this group is taking them over. Like, do you announce it on social media that, hey, this Friday our, you know, band leaders are taking over?
Yeah, so we'll do a promotional blitz. If it's a just a big event, we'll do a promotional blitz to the whole district. If it's a school-specific thing, we'll do it more on the school social media accounts. But yeah, we let people know usually a week in advance that they're going to take over, and we'll even sometimes have a countdown of when that's going to take place, you know, and, you know, 1 hour, this is going to be student run, no, you know, phony, you know, teachers running it, or, you know, some guy with gray hair running it. It's going to be, so we make it definitely known. And then we hope that our students are also promoting it as well, because when we say it's going to be student run by the Troy Ann's at Newman Smith, which is our drill team, the drill team is going to share that out quite a bit, and they're going to tell all their friends, make sure to, you know, do this. So they have a specific thing to sort of wrap their head around.
Yeah, I love it. That's great advice, Jason. And I know people, if they need to reach out, we're definitely going to give them your information so that they can reach out and ask additional questions. Sure. But I think that's great. So let's talk about TikTok.
Yeah.
So I know that my girls, you know, I've got girls and I got boys, and they love them some TikTok. I don't know if I've necessarily totally understood it, although they've shown me some pretty funny stuff as well.
Yeah. Yes.
But what is your school? Everybody asks me, should I have a TikTok channel? And I'm always like, I just say go slowly, because some of our communication friends are very, very overwhelmed. And so I'm just like, I don't want you to bite off more than you can chew. But what's your experience with TikTok? What have you tried? What's worked? What hasn't?
Yeah, definitely. And I would say the same thing. I would put an asterisk by everything is, if you don't feel comfortable getting on the platform or you feel overwhelmed, don't do it, because it's not going to be good. You're not going to be able to do it well. And just because it's the new shiny thing, if you don't have the resources, don't do it, because you don't have to be on these platforms. I mean, if you concentrate on one thing or two things, you're going to do great. But, you know, but it is a highly engaging platform right now. I mean, TikTok, like I said, my 8-year-old, which we said no, but she goes, I heard JoJo Siwa has a TikTok. Can I have a TikTok? I'm like, no. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's becoming almost mainstream now with the young people. And I even heard my son, who's 12, he doesn't have a TikTok, but he was humming a popular song from TikTok just because it's sort of in pop culture right now. I mean, it's you know, look what happened with Fleetwood Mac and their song Dreams. I mean, it was the number one chart topper because it was on a famous, you know, TikTok video. So it does have influence. It does have high engagement right now. And more than anything, it's a platform where young people can go to where the parents haven't taken over yet. So that's why it's very popular. And it's a little bit different from Facebook, is that you're not really, you can follow people, but you're not really following people. It's more of like an organic entertainment stream. It's sort of even a simpler version of YouTube, where just recommended videos come up and the people that you're following just come up, and it's not, you don't have to interact with those people or anything. You just sort of just watch and just have fun. So it's become very popular. We had some doubters about us starting a district TikTok. I will say that we have not posted content in about a couple months just because of the pandemic, and it's very hard to get students involved, because I'd say the first tip is, if you don't know anything about TikTok, maybe try not to do it yourself and sort of find one of the student influencers that would be able to show you some of the things that show you the ropes of how the app actually works. That's what we did. And that really got us running straight out of the gates pretty hard, was that I went and found one of my young administrators and I said, do you have any students in your school that you would consider a TikTok influencer? Well, there was one girl at our high school from Newman Smith who, she started on Musical.ly, which is what ByteDance, the company that owns TikTok, bought and sort of merged TikTok that was a product in China and India that merged it with Musical.ly and sort of became what we see as the United States version of TikTok. But she had started doing lip sync battles on Musical.ly. And she became very popular in middle school, and that audience transitioned over to TikTok, and she had, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers on TikTok already. So what did we do is I was like, well, you're not going to teach me how to do TikTok. I also want you to be in our first video. So we found the student influencer. She was in our first video, and within a couple of days, it had 10,000 views. And we were up to over 1,000 people following us on TikTok just off one video. So finding those influencers and just getting your feet wet in the platform. Because I would say that even if you don't want to post anything on TikTok, I would encourage you to set up your own personal TikTok. Don't post any videos, but you can see what's trending with the younger audiences and what might work on other social media platforms just to know what's sort of resonating with the teen audience. Resonating with even the people that you're trying to hire right out of college. Those are that's the big market. I mean, 13 to 21 demographic is huge right now on TikTok. So that spans everyone from middle school all the way up through college. So you're going to get a great insight of maybe what's trending and what they like and what they prefer, trending songs, trending graphics, trending dance, things like that. So I would definitely recommend, if you're not even going to get on TikTok to post stuff, just to sort of tour it and sort of see what's trending out there. You might be scared at first with some of the stuff that you might see from the different things that are out there, because the kids tend to get pretty personal on TikTok and showcase a lot of things that you might not want to see, but it sort of gives that. I think that's why the platform is taking off so much, because it's sort of a platform they can call their own and their parents aren't on there. And it's, you know, it's highly, highly engaging. Some of these videos you post on there, you don't have to be an influencer. You can post. And if it hits, you're going to get tens of thousands of views.
Is TikTok just music videos, like just dancing, or what could you put out? Like, what would a school share on TikTok?
Yeah, so there's a couple different things that it sort of transitioned. At first, of course, it was a lot of the lip syncing because it was a Musical.ly platform. And then it started doing a lot of the dancing. A lot of the popular videos are still dancing videos. But if you look like on TikTok now, there is so much stuff out there. I mean, you can put text, you can put different stickers, things like that on there. So it's not just dancing videos. There's like a version that was popular, hashtag like yep and nope. Well, what if you put a program of your school on there and like, does your school offer, you know, robotics? Yep. And then, is it something that you have to apply for? Nope. So there's some different things that you can do in looking at some of the trending hashtags. And if you're on TikTok, the little magnifying glass at the bottom, it can show you what's trending on a daily basis. That's trending songs, trending hashtags. So it used to be all sort of dancing and things like that, but I've seen a lot of things. There's a lady on there called @MissExcel. All she does is she is a statistics nerd, and she tells you tips of how to do things in Excel, like pivot tables, things like that. She has hundreds of thousands of followers, and her videos get hundreds of thousands of views, just tutorials of Excel spreadsheets. And there's one called Planet Money that offers financial advice. And then one of the most popular TikToks out there is the Washington Post. So the Washington Post, they call him the Washington Post TikTok guy. And he puts funny videos out there, social commentary, political stuff. And he gets millions of views just really representing the Washington Post as a TikTok channel. So it was early on music videos and dancing, but it has evolved to more of whatever you want to make it. And there's different TikTok hashtag challenges where people are doing certain things. And you can relate that to your brand, and you can relate that to the things that you're doing. Tell your story through a lot of the stuff. So some of the things that we've done is fine arts performances. The great thing about TikTok, it has a music library. So if your band or your orchestra or your choir is doing some kind of copyrighted music, it's probably on TikTok. and you can put that on there and you won't get dinged for copyright. So, you know, Over the Rainbow was something our choir did. I posted it on there and they did a little dance to it and sang it, and it got, you know, 7,000 views in 24 hours. So there's some different possibilities to showcase programs, to teach about the different programs, and really an educational experience like science labs or, you know, math trivia or math quizzes, things like that, that you can do to sit more engaging and just have that. It's, you know, you can do a video from 15 seconds to 60 seconds now on TikTok. So there's a lot of possibilities that you can do in 1 minute.
Okay. And if they go to your channel, which we've got the link in the show notes, yeah, even though you haven't done anything recently, will they be able to go back and watch your former?
So the good thing about TikTok is if you do follow people, you can look at all of the videos that you've done. So at first we did a lot of student showcasing, but when COVID hit, I started doing a lot of the content on my own, and I sort of, you know, different events that we were doing or virtual events, and I would sort of make like little funny songs about them and do, you know, some things that were happening, sort of current event things. So it became a little bit of me just sort of having a lot of fun and just relating to our brand to that. But yeah, it's, yeah, you can look at past videos, things like that, that you can do, and you can really go on there and look at anything. So there's a following tab at the very top, or a For Your Page, it's called. You click on For Your Page, it will send video content that they think you might like, just looking at your preferences. And the great thing about ByteDance, the company that owns it, they were a AI algorithm company before they bought into all this stuff. So their algorithm and their AI to deliver content that relates a lot to you is very powerful. It's even more powerful a lot of the times than Instagram and Facebook about giving you the content that they think you want to see. So it's a good way to explore, is that FYP or For Your Page at the top of TikTok to sort of explore. And then, of course, the more you interact with videos, the better the algorithm is going to get.
Okay. And Instagram recently came out with Reels, which I think is, you know, they all kind of steal from each other. And Snapchat became Instagram Stories, and now that's big. And Facebook even has Stories. And LinkedIn's going to have Stories.
Yeah, I know. And then YouTube has what they call Shorts, which is basically the same thing.
Yeah. So anything that you know yet about like Instagram Reels, and have you taken a look at that?
Yeah, I know a lot of people jumped on it at the very beginning. But the funny thing is, what you see is you see a lot of these influencers just reposting their TikTok videos on Instagram Reels. So if you look at the very bottom, the right bottom corner, you're going to see the TikTok logo on there. And why not? Because if it worked on TikTok, then you're probably going to find an audience on Instagram as well. You do see some original content, but I don't think YouTube Shorts, it's called, the Stories. And I know Instagram Stories are doing really well, but their Instagram Reels, it's not doing as well as they probably thought because they had the brand name. Still, people are really resonating with TikTok. I mean, of course, Instagram Reels is doing a great job. I mean, they're getting millions of views each day. But TikTok, you know, is just anything that you sort of get that Vine experience from a long time ago. TikTok is sort of the number one player right now. And if here's a little stat that's really cool. TikTok, 11 out of the past 12 months, it's been the number one top download in the App Store. So for the whole year, the only time is in April when Zoom took it over for a little bit because of COVID, and then everyone went back to TikTok. Even with all sort of the controversy around it there for a while and the shutdown, it is still, for the past year, it was 11 out of the 12 months, number one downloaded app in all the app stores.
Wow. Yeah, that says something. It's not something maybe that you can continue to ignore, but again, get with your students and know your capacity, because we
exactly
work-life balance and work-life harmony is what I like to call it. I know that's really hard for all our listeners right now, and you're certainly living it as well. All right, that was amazing, and I'm sure you listeners probably have more questions that you're like, Andrea, ask this, but one thing I do want to ask, Jason.
Sure.
The music.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the music is not appropriate for school settings, and you don't even realize.
No.
Maybe the 15-second clip doesn't have any swear words, but the full song really is not appropriate. How do you approach that, you know, at your school?
Here's the best tip I can say for that is there's an option to save your video as a draft. So sometimes we'll record multiple videos on one day and save it as draft. We can go back and review it before we post. That gives everyone an opportunity with their ears to listen to see if there's been an inappropriate word or sometimes even an inappropriate background thing that's happened in the videos. So you just never know. So with anything, I think, you know, as many eyes and as many times as you can look at it and make sure that you really want to post it, it's almost like that thing where, you know, wait a minute before you send your email when you're really mad. Wait, you know, maybe 30 minutes to an hour before you send your TikTok out to make sure that it's appropriate and that no one's going to have any objections to it. So there is a draft function in TikTok, and I would utilize that to sort of store your videos. And then, and also you might think something's really funny in the morning and maybe it's not that funny and you realize, and you might not want to put it out. So I'd always encourage to do the draft, you know, instead of putting it out immediately.
That's really good advice. Thank you. Just to wrap this up, you know, a helpful social media tip, you know, you kind of talked about, I don't know if you remember what you told me, but it was knowing your audience, build content for them, not you. So can you just kind of describe, you know, talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, that's my biggest thing. And every time I speak about marketing or social media is you have to know your audience. It's so very powerful. I mean, there's been a huge shift in marketing where the consumer or the audience is in control. No longer can you just put out information and everyone's going to believe you. People are going to look up that information. They're going to research you. And a lot of the times the consumer, your audience, is already going to have a great idea about what you represent before they even look at any of your content. There's so many different sites out there and things like that. You have to know your audience, and to get the most engagement, you have to know what they like. You have to know what they dislike, and you need to know what kind of platform, what kind of format you want to put that in. There's so many, we have so many different demographics in our district, and it's a larger district. So we battle with just how niche do we want to go to put out specific content to these niche groups. But for all those audiences that we have in our district, we've built audience personas. We've built, you know, things and be able to look. And one of the greatest things on Facebook is sort of that audience insight where you can look at your audience and you can see what restaurants they dine in, what DJs they like to listen to, what's their favorite movie, things like that. There's a lot of information out there that you can use and use the data that's already being recorded from all your social media platforms to really understand your audience. And the last thing I would say is social listening. Social media is awesome to put out information and engage with your audience, but it's also a very cool customer experience tool where sometimes you can just listen and you can gain so much knowledge and insight on your audience by just listening and looking at the comments that are on Facebook, looking about what people are retweeting, look about what might be resonating with them in a certain moment. So just knowing everything, anything about your audience is going to help you tremendously with whatever you do in marketing or social media in schools and even for small businesses and large corporations.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I'm really excited. All my listeners who are inside my membership group, you have access to several of the webinars Jason's done. And he actually walked us through like the persona and identifying your audience. And then just a lot of great stuff. I've learned a ton from you. So as we wrap up, Jason, what's the best way for our listeners to stay connected to you?
Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of you are on Twitter. So my Twitter handle is @WheelerCFB. That's WHEELERCFB. And then I also have a website that has a blog and my podcast, and I have a lot of video content on there. It's www.jasonawheeler.com.
Awesome. And we'll have that linked. And Jason also does an amazing job with speaking. So he can speak at your SPRA chapter events statewide, especially or nationwide, especially because of, you know, the pandemic. We can do this all from virtually. And he just does such a great job and also has spoken at a lot of national conferences as well. So if you are looking, especially at some of that advanced you know, marketing and content marketing and all of that. And then if you're interested in TikTok, hey, you can see he's got a lot to share there as well. I just want to further plug that, Jason, because you do such a great job.
Well, I really appreciate it. You're always so very supportive and you do great things for the school communication, school marketing, and social media for all of us. And thank you so much for what you're doing as well.
Yeah, well, we're all in this together. You've taught me so much, and everybody out there that's listening, you're teaching me things every day. So let's stick together. And the way to do that is, hey, hit the subscribe button to this podcast. I hit your a new episode every single Monday. So we hope you'll continue to listen in. Definitely take action on some of Jason's advice, and we'll see you next time. Bye, Jason. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of the week.
Well, that's a wrap. I hope you learned a lot from this episode of the Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast. Every week, I pick the brains of experts across the country to bring you the best tips and tricks to make your school's social media shine. If you were inspired today, hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And when you have a moment, please leave me a review. I just want to reach more social media rock stars like you, and your reviews help. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. But before I sign off, I have one more message for you. Now, I know that you want to be a rockstar social media manager for your school. And in order to do that, you actually need training and support. But I know budgets are tight. That's why I've developed a free bi-weekly email newsletter that's packed with tips, post ideas, blog articles, and more. It's everything tailored just for you. A social media manager for a K-12 school. Sign up at the link in the show notes of this episode, and I can't wait to see your name on the list.